Hello, and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, 18th of October, 2025. This is Jeremy, and your other readers are Cherry, Chris, and Eleanor. The editor this week is Eleanor. All are members of Team One. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted, and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. This week, we are sponsored by Bridge Garage Services, which is just behind Pets at Home in Apsley. They have over 30 years' experience in all types of car and van MOT and servicing. Telephone 235 412. Their website is bridgegaragehemel.co.uk. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines. Team effort for Dawn. Stage is set for TV show. Pupils win competition. And celebration of India. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, I'm Cherry. First of all, we would like to remind listeners that the Decorum Talking Newspaper Annual General Meeting 2025 will take place this Saturday, 18th of October at 2 p.m. for 2:15 start. The venue is Ruckless Lane Village Hall, Ruckless Lane, Kings Langley, WD4 8AU. There is parking on the street. Afternoon tea will be served after the close of business. Come along and meet the volunteers who make the DTN happen.
Hello, this is Chris. A Sunday League football team based in Hemel Hempstead has raised hundreds of pounds in memory of a key supporter's wife. West Hearts Wanderers Football Club has raised over £770 for breast cancer now, in memory of Dawn Payne. Dawn was married to Nick Payne, a long-time supporter and sponsor of the club, who lost the mum of two to breast cancer in 2019. Nick said in a video for the cancer charity, "Breast cancer now were there for me. I just needed to talk, speaking to someone who I didn't know, who had experience, was amazing, could put things into perspective for me, were non-judgmental, and reminded me that all the feelings that I'm going through are normal and not to be ashamed of them. Absolutely every day I look at my boys and see Dawn in them, their mannerisms, the generosity that they've got, the humility that they've got, the kindness that they've got. No child should ever have to deal with what they've had to deal with. The research that Breast Cancer Now funds is so important. It could have given Dawn and others in the same situation extra time, which is so, so priceless. In the club's fundraiser, player manager Jamie Brennan explains that Nick has been a sponsor and consistent supporter of the team, which formed in recent months. Jamie said, "We are extremely grateful to Nick, who has been an unwavering pillar of support in helping our football club get off the ground. His dedication and hard work have been instrumental in making our team what it is today." He also mentioned that prior to her passing, Dawn played a special part in the lives of many members of the football team. In 2017, Dawn was diagnosed with breast cancer and successfully underwent chemotherapy. Following a recurrence, she passed away on August 28, 2019. The club has set a target goal of £1,000 and at the time of writing, has received 44 separate donations towards their target. West Hearts Wanderers Football Club play in the Berkhamsted Sunday League.
Hello, this is Eleanor. A new entertainment documentary series is shining a spotlight on young talent at Tring Park School for the Performing Arts. The all-singing, all-dancing and drama-filled show is telling the stories of the homegrown stars of tomorrow and began on CBBC and BBC iPlayer on Monday, October the 13th. Produced by Drummer Television for the BBC, Stage Stars offers viewers exclusive access to the delicate balance between boarding school life and a career in the spotlight at Tring Park School for the Performing Arts. For the first time, CBBC is presenting a reality observational documentary series blending behind-the-scenes access with dazzling performance moments and fast-paced graphics to capture the energy, ambition and spirit of young performers chasing their dreams. Stage Stars invites viewers inside the world of the UK's leading specialist performing arts boarding school for students aged 7 to 19, where the intensity of training for future on stage is balanced with everyday realities of boarding school life. Audiences will experience everything from nerve-wracking auditions and spectacular end-of-year productions to celebrated performances, while also discovering who these young stars are when the curtain comes down. Sarah Muller, Senior Head of Commissioning for BBC Children's and Education 7+, says viewers can get the inside track on the next generation of superstars across performing arts, where the stories of their real lives are just as intense and gripping as the productions they star in. The Stage Stars will add to the long list of homegrown talented performers who started their career with BBC Children's and Education. Rachel Drummond-Hay, executive producer for Drummer Television, says, "These budding stars show that to make it in the spotlight, you need more than just glitz and talent. You need grit and determination too. And watching these young people triumph on stage and off makes compulsive viewing." Stage Stars is a joyous series that has real-life drama citing along beautifully produced performances stitched together by innovative moments more often seen on social media. Set in the Hertfordshire countryside against the backdrop of a 17th century Grade II listed mansion, Stage Stars takes viewers on an unforgettable journey through the school year, from fundraising on bonfire night and performing at the local Christmas fair, to celebrating Valentine's Day and hosting a show-stopping sports day. The series highlights not only the hard work and dedication required for a career on stage, but also the joy and camaraderie of school life.
Continuing on with this story, Elizabeth Odell, Director of Studies at Tring Park School, explains, "We are delighted to showcase the exceptional young talent within our school. As a hub for aspiring performers, we take great pride in nurturing those pursuing a career in the performing arts. It's an honour to be a part of this exciting project, and we look forward to seeing it come to life on screen. Audiences will meet a diverse cast of students from across the globe who bring with them a wealth of talent in dance, musical theatre, contemporary music and acting. Key themes throughout the series include perseverance, friendship, teamwork and the courage to follow your dreams. Among the extraordinary young people featured are the UK's only dancer to qualify for the world's top international ballet competition. Students with impressive West End credits in shows including Billy Elliot, Matilda and The Lion King. A tap dancer who represented Team GB at the World Championships. A seven-year-old who had to give up her contract in Starlight Express after breaking her arm. A teenage songwriter who released his debut album at just 17. Two aspiring rappers seeking guidance from the coolest kid in school. From life-changing auditions and award-winning performances to friendships forged in the boarding house, Stage Stars promises an authentic and entertaining look at what it takes to shine in the performing arts world.
Pupils from a local primary school have won a competition to name the suites at a brand new care home in Tring. Keen for names with cultural or historical significance to the area, the team at Care UK's Edgelton House reached out to locals for suite names, knowing that those with connections to the town would be the best to help with the task. The suites currently being built at the care home on Miswell Lane, which will open in summer 2026, have been named after the heritage of Tring. The chosen names are Ridgeway, Coombe, Wiltstone, Tringford. The winning entries were submitted by students at Dundale Primary School and Nursery, which is part of the Ridgeway Learning Partnership. Edgelton House will be divided into four suites, each comprising a number of bedrooms and a lounge for residents. This encourages the creation of close-knit communities within the home and provides space for group activities. The Ridgeway and Coombe suites will be situated on the ground floor, while the Wiltstone and Tringford suites will be located on the first floor, providing dedicated dementia care. Helen Hodgson, Deputy Head Teacher at Dundale Primary School, said, "As a school, we have loved opportunities to work with our local community and look forward to possible further opportunities of working together once the care home has opened." All children took part in the competition, with the winning entries coming from across the school. Jake Higgins, Project Development Manager at Care UK, added, "Picking the suite names for a new home is one of the key milestones in preparation for opening, so it was important that the community were involved in the decision. All of the suggestions we received were of a very high quality, making our decision a difficult one. Ultimately, we felt using the names from the local area, which resonate with the residents of Tring, is an excellent way to reflect the connections we hope to establish at Edgelton House. We're incredibly grateful to everyone who took the time to submit an entry and to the students at Dundale Primary School and Nursery for coming up with the winning names. Designed to allow residents to live active and fulfilled lives while also promoting independence, Edgelton House will incorporate plenty of space for leisure activities and hobbies. The layout of the building will be configured into a series of individual suites, each having a dedicated lounge dining room to help facilitate the creation of close-knit communities. For more information on Edgelton House, visit careuk.com/Edgelton-house, all lowercase.
A care home in Hemel Hempstead has hosted its first language cafe, an initiative that celebrates the different cultures of both its residents and team members. The celebration, which took place on August the 29th, was organised by the team at Watermill House Care Home, a 65-bed care home on Rose Lane. Indian members of the care home team volunteered to share their culture with the residents and fellow team members by wearing traditional dress, bringing in authentic Indian dishes for everyone to try, and teaching residents a few traditional Indian dance moves. Watermill House provides expert care to adults with a range of support needs, including rehab following a stroke or amputation, paralysis, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and Parkinson's, as well as residential, nursing specialist dementia, and end-of-life care. Indian resident Dinkar Patel, aged 88, was thrilled to participate in the event and received an extra special surprise on the day when his daughter made an appearance wearing traditional Indian dress. Dinkar said, "It was a fantastic event with great music, food, and atmosphere, a true celebration of Southeast Asian culture. The food brought back wonderful memories and the flavours were incredible. It was a joy to experience something so different and special. It was wonderful to see everyone dressed up for the occasion, especially my daughter Minat. I love the opportunity to share the day with her. I can't wait for the next one." Dinkar has a spinal injury from a fall and now uses a wheelchair. When he first moved into the care home in October 2023, he could only move his head, but with personalised physiotherapy program, he has gained core strength and has improved movement in his upper and lower body. Minat Patel, Dinkar's daughter, added, "I love the idea of bringing everyone together in a festival-style celebration. As a multicultural family, we found it really uplifting and thoroughly enjoyed the celebration." The Language Cafe served as a tribute to Indian culture and traditions, allowing the care home community to experience Indian culture firsthand. Following the entertainment, guests enjoyed a selection of Indian cuisine, drinks and music. Savory snacks included chicken samosas, vegetable rolls, mutton rolls and fish cutlets, followed by sweet treats such as butter cake, peda, gulag jamun and kazari. Bailey Lawrence, the deputy manager at Watermill House Care Home, said, "The event was not only a feast for the senses, but also a chance to bring people together. It was wonderful to see our residents so engaged, smiling and enjoying the celebration. The Indian snacks and sweets were a highlight. It truly made the day memorable for everyone."
This week in history, October the 19th, 1989, the Guildford Four had their convictions quashed after serving 15 years for the IRA Guildford and Woolwich bombings. On this day last year, the BFI London Film Festival cancelled a screening of a documentary about the far right over safety concerns. October the 20th, 2011, Muammar Gaddafi, who ruled Libya for 42 years, was captured and killed as rebel troops overran the last pockets of loyalist resistance in his hometown of Sirte. On this day last year, Selfridges revealed that an exclusive Taylor Swift Christmas decoration is the department store's top-selling festive decoration so far that year. October the 21st, 1982, Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness made history by becoming the first members of Sinn Féin to be elected to the Ulster Assembly. On this day last year, Metropolitan Police marksman Martin Blake, aged 40, was cleared at the Old Bailey of the murder of Chris Cubber, aged 24, who was fatally shot in Streatham, South East London, on September the 5th, 2022. October the 22nd, 1966, KGB master spy George Blake escaped from Wormwood Scrubs, where he was serving a 40-year sentence.
The unmistakable aroma of freshly fried fish and golden chips has been wafting through Henry Wells Square in Grove Hill since Churchill's Fish and Chips officially opened its doors on September the 30th. But this isn't just any new chippy, it's the latest chapter in a family story that began over 100 years ago. The Lipscomb family's love for fish and chips traces back to 1923, when Harold Lipscomb, a coal miner and cricketer from Accrington, turned crown donations from his cricket matches into something extraordinary, his first fish and chip shop in Essex. "My great-grandfather Harold gave up coal mining and followed his passion," says James Lipscomb, fourth-generation owner and proud torchbearer of the family business. From then on, every generation has built on that dream and has continued playing cricket. From 1923 to today's grand opening in Hemel Hempstead, Churchill's has grown into a celebrated name in fish and chips, winning Best Chain at the National Fish and Chip Awards twice. The new store brings with it high standards, a commitment to sustainably sourced fish, locally grown potatoes and top quality chickens. And there was something special for locals. A 50% discount was given on all orders placed in store on Wednesday the 8th of October to say thank you and welcome to the community. So whether you're craving a classic cotton chips or some tasty chicken, manager Vaz and his team look forward to welcoming you. Head on over to Churchill's and become part of a legacy that's been proudly served since 1923.
A man has been arrested and two tipper trucks have been seized as part of an investigation into incidents of fly tipping across Hertfordshire and Bedfordshire. The investigation started last month following multiple incidents of large quantities of macerated waste dumped in rural locations across Hertfordshire, Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Essex. During the early hours of Wednesday, October the 1st, officers tracked a tipper suspected to be involved in illegal dumping. The vehicles loaded with waste was stopped and the driver was arrested under the Environmental Protection Act 1990. False number plates were found hidden in the vehicle, while a knuckle duster was later found inside a bag. The tipper was seized alongside a second vehicle suspected to have been involved in the crime. Ashley Greenall, whose farm in High Wycombe on the Hertfordshire-Essex border was subject to one of the fly tipping incidents, said, "Illegal dumping of waste on my farmland has caused significant disruption and distress, placing an added financial burden of more than £5,000 on an already struggling family farm business. This unexpected cost covers the removal and safe disposal of hazardous materials, as well as repairing damage to the land. The incident has not only taken up considerable time and physical effort to resolve, time that should be spent maintaining crops, but has also created serious stress and anxiety, compounded by the fear it may happen again, highlighting the urgent need for stronger enforcement and community vigilance to protect our rural areas." Robert L. Law, the Hertfordshire National Farmers Union County Chairman, added, "Illegal dumping of hazardous waste continues to be an issue throughout the county of Hertfordshire. I had an incident recently which blocked our main access into the farm and caused me to have to get in a specialist contractor to remove it. Although insurance covered some of the cost, high insurance excesses for this crime meant that there was still a balance to be funded. Then there was the stress and time involved in getting the debris cleared up. Hearts Police and the Environmental Agency are to be congratulated on their recent success, seizing two tipper lorries and making arrests. Continued vigilance is required by members to ensure we can stamp out this activity. The Environment Agency will now continue the investigation with support from the police forces involved. Anyone who witnesses fly tipping is asked to call the Environmental Agency's incident hotline on 0800 80 7060.
Hertfordshire is heading for an overspend of £4.2 million in its budget, which officers say is a positive position compared to the national landscape. A meeting of the County Council's Resources and Performance Cabinet panel met on Thursday, October the 2nd, where it reviewed the finance budget monitor for the first quarter of 2025-26. A report prepared by Scott Walker, Head of Corporate Finance, recommended the approval of £21.2 million reprogramming of the capital programme in light of a £13 million underspend in this area. Addressing councillors in the chamber, Mr. Walker said, "Obviously an overspend is an undesirable position to be in, but we feel it is a manageable position we are currently working through, and we're trying to work with all the departments to move all of their positions within the budget for the year. In comparison to some of our nearer neighbours, and probably this institution 12 months ago, this is quite an encouraging position to be in, and one which we will work to reduce throughout the financial year. In terms of the position we've included in this report, the biggest pressures are in our resources department. A number of these savings that unfortunately haven't materialised. One of the biggest examples is the purchase of an office building in Apsley, which unfortunately was taken off the market, and therefore that saving hasn't been able to be delivered. The next biggest financial pressure is seen in adults. On a budget of over £500 million, they have got a small overspend, which they are trying to manage at the moment. There are some demand pressures in that area, in particular in adult disability services. In comparison to the budget we set, demand has been slightly higher, and a bit of an increase in the complexity of care and packages that are being issued throughout this year. But that continues to be managed, and mitigation is in place to review all the high cost packages in this area. Mr. Walker said focus continues on the planned savings programme this year, 96% of which is on target to be achieved.
Continuing, Councillor John Graham asked about lobbying of the government and was told by the chairman of the committee, Councillor Chris Lucas, "We are constantly lobbying government all the time on a number of different matters." Councillor Lucas added, "You're well aware of the Fairer Funding Review and the fact that debt hampers and disadvantages Hertfordshire significantly. I know for a fact that we're lobbying all of our local MPs and the various ministers of state. We're constantly in regular contact with the government and our local MPs on all matters regarding our funding, of which higher needs funding is one of them." Scott Crudgington, Executive Director of Resources, said, "On the point of debt, there's some work we are doing with our health colleagues, as they are one of the key offenders in relation to outstanding debt for this council. Although I have sympathy, and I'm sure we owe them money as well, we need to make sure that sizeable debts that are due to the council are recovered in a timely manner. We're going to be raising that at the highest levels within the health service." The report stated the net revenue budget of £1.2 billion is forecasting an overspend of £4.2 million. This assumes no use of the £10 million contingency. In comparison to the national landscape, a relatively small forecasted overspend is a positive position to be reported. However, there has been a continued upward trend within social care and services since the forecasts were produced for this report, particularly within adult disability services and looked after children, where both the number and cost of care packages are rising. If these trends persist, they could worsen the county's financial position in future quarters, especially if planning mitigations fail to deliver the required impact. The approved budget for the school's high needs funding block included an in-year deficit of £52 million. The in-year forecast is in line with the approved budget, which will result in an accumulated deficit in the region of £77 million by the end of the financial year. The capital programme is forecasting an underspend of £13.8 million for 2024-25, and reprogramming of £21.2 million into later years. The impact of the underspend and requested reprogramming has been built into the quarter forecast included in this report. After discussion, the panel voted to recommend that the Cabinet approves the £21.2 million capital reprogramming.
As part of Hospice Care Week 2025, which ran from the 6th to the 12th of October, Rennie Grove Peace Hospice Care has highlighted how hospice care is about much more than medical care at the end of life. Modern hospice care is about working with each person to understand what matters most to them and supporting them right from the point of diagnosis with a life-limiting illness. The theme of this year's national campaign is Hospice Care is More Than You Think, and it shines a light on the many ways hospices support people facing life-limiting illness. At Rennie Grove Peace, that includes ensuring that patients' emotional and practical worries are heard and addressed, alongside providing expert clinical care, which enables them to live well with their illness. One recent story from the charity, which has bases in Tring and Berkhamsted, demonstrates this in action. Michael, 80, from Hertfordshire, was supported by Rennie Grove Peace during his final weeks while living with renal cancer and chronic kidney disease. His faithful companion throughout was Coco, a much-loved rescue cat. Rachel, a healthcare assistant at Rennie Grove Peace, recalled, "We visited daily to help with personal care, such as making sure he was clean and comfortable and making breakfast for him and his cat. We always made him a cup of his favourite Chinese tea. He was very appreciative of the visits as he lived alone. Coco was his constant companion. She sat on his lap all the time and they were really loving and affectionate with each other. I know he was worried about what would happen to her when he died." When Michael's daughter, Mary Ann, mentioned she had promised to her dad she would find a new home for Coco, Rachel did not hesitate to help. Mary Ann couldn't take Coco because she already had a cat and wasn't sure what to do with Coco, a 13-year-old lap cat who was used to being the only pet. "I knew how much Coco meant to Michael, and I wanted to give both him and Mary Ann peace of mind that she would be okay," Rachel explained. Michael died at the end of August after spending his final days in the Rennie Grove Peace inpatient unit in Watford, leaving Coco suddenly without her beloved owner. Rachel helped Mary Ann to share Coco's story on a local cat rescue Facebook page. Within hours, the post had over 4,000 views. Hope soon arrived when a 70-year-old woman, who also lived alone and was looking for an affectionate companion, stepped forward to adopt Coco. On the 5th of September, Coco began a new chapter, safe, warm, and loved once again. Thanks to Rachel's compassion and swift action, Michael found peace in his final days, comforted by the knowledge that his beloved Coco would not be forgotten. Jackie Tretton, Chief Clinical Officer at Rennie Grove Peace, said, "Michael's story is a powerful reminder that hospice care is about much more than medicine. It is about supporting the whole person, their relationships, worries, and wishes, and helping families prepare for what comes next. That might mean symptom management, emotional support, or in this case, making sure a much-loved pet finds a safe home. Hospice care is about dignity, compassion, and helping people to get the best out of every day while living with a serious illness." Rennie Grove Peace provides specialist care and support within Buckinghamshire and Hertfordshire, both in people's homes and its inpatient unit in Watford. To find out more about how Rennie Grove Peace can support you or someone you know, please visit renniegrovepeace.org/our-care-and-support.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on, and any more news. We would also like to welcome Heather, who is reading for us for the first time. Berkhamsted is getting a fabulous new market, Berkhamsted Artisan Market. The market will be a regular showcase for local creative artists and makers, and promises to bring a new creative vibe to the town. Come and browse the market stalls for glass, wood, and ceramic crafts, textiles, artworks, dried flowers, children's clothes and jewellery, and maybe find an early Christmas gift. Berkhamsted Artisan Market is being organised by the Friends of St Peter, the charity that fundraises to support Berkhamsted's charitable heritage sites, St Peter's Parish Church, 1222, and Berkhamsted Town Hall, 1859, and Rectory Lane Cemetery, 1842. All the pitch fees from the market will go towards maintaining these historic sites. Do please support this fabulous community initiative. Berkhamsted Artisan Market will have two launch markets on Sunday the 12th of October and Sunday the 30th of November. And then from March next year, it is planned to hold the market on the second Sunday of the month.
Obituaries on the family announcement page this week. There's only one. Beryl Ann Nauch, née Evans, aged 86 years. May she rest in peace.
This is Heather. The Swan Youth Project, Berkhamsted Together. The Swan Youth Project starts a new chapter next week to further support people in our community. With the unfortunate closure of Open Door, the Swan have decided to open their centre so that groups have a place where they can continue to meet and get the help they need. Whilst this is on a temporary basis, a new charity is being set up by volunteers under the banner Berkhamsted Together. More details can be found at theswanyouthproject.co.uk.
What's on television? Quiz, The Weakest Link, Saturday, BBC One at 8:35. No one likes to be the first person eliminated, but Ramesh Ranganathan is giving some of the disappointed stars who fell at the first hurdle the opportunity to put that right. He hosts a Redemption Special Edition in which celebs who were voted off first in previous episodes get a second chance. Stars include Susie McCabe, Joel Corry, Tim Vine, Conan, Donna Preston and Linda Robson. And then music. 40 hits of 1975 at the BBC. Saturday, BBC Two at 8:35 p.m. It's 50 years since Queen released Bohemian Rhapsody, the chart-topping single that turned Freddie Mercury, Brian May, John Deacon and Roger Taylor into superstars. To mark the anniversary, BBC Two is dedicating an entire evening to the band. It begins with performances culled from the Beeb's archive by artists who were hugely popular during the year of the song's release. That's followed by a 2004 Richard E. Grant narrated documentary. The boys can be seen belting out many of their songs before the night rounds off with more archive clips in Queen at the BBC.
Halloween. Halloween Hauntfest, Hertfordshire Showground, October 17 to November the 1st. Featuring four hair-raising immersive scare mazes alongside many more eerie experiences, Halloween Hauntfest promises heart-pounding, high-intensity horror, bringing nightmares to a disturbing reality. Headline attractions will see fearless visitors experience the UK's only official Texas Chainsaw Massacre attraction, packed with blood-soaked scenes from the 1974 horror movie classic. Fans of the film will step directly into the chaos, navigating a twisted, blood-soaked labyrinth. There's much else beside, too, including an attraction called The Trials of Jane Wenham. The Hertfordshire Witch, plus street food and themed bars. Visit halloweenhauntfest.co.uk to book. Theatre. The Bodyguard, Milton Keynes Theatre, October the 21st to the 25th. Former Secret Service agent turned bodyguard, Frank Farmer, is hired to protect superstar Rachel Maron from an unknown stalker. Each expects to be in charge. What they don't expect is to fall in love. The smash hit romantic thriller features a whole host of irresistible classics, including Queen of the Night, So Emotional, One Moment in Time, Saving All My Love, Run to You, I Have Nothing, Greatest Love of All, Million Dollar Bill, I Wanna Dance with Somebody, and one of the greatest hits of all time, I Will Always Love You. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes to book.
Tuesday the 14th of October to Saturday the 18th of October at 7 p.m. The Pepper Show at the Denby Theatre, formerly the Court Theatre in Tring, promising a fabulous night of live rock, pop, country, dance and indie music performed by local bands and singers. Each year the show raises vital funds for the Pepper Foundation, a charity which provides children's hospice at home care in Buckinghamshire and Hertfordshire. Tickets are £15 to £22.50, discounts for children aged 12 and under, available from the Pepper box office. Contact 507-324. The website is www.pepper.org.uk/event/the-pepper-show-2025.
Tring Book Festival is taking place this year from the 1st to the 16th of November at various venues around the area. Some contributors include Alexander Armstrong, David Walliams, Robin Ince, Kate Moss, Poet Laureate Simon Armitage, and Gardener's World author Adam Frost. Visit tringbookfestival.co.uk for full details and tickets, but be quick as tickets are selling out rapidly.
Tring Together Christmas Festival on the 29th of November 2025 between 3:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Come join us at Tring Together's Christmas Festival on Saturday the 29th of November for all things Christmas. We will have a beautifully lit memorial garden where you will find Father and Mother Christmas in their grotto, handing out gifts alongside two of their hardest working reindeer and loyal elves. The High Street and Victoria Hall will be full of exciting stalls selling gifts and food and drink. There will be a fun fair at the top of the High Street, plus four stages of music with something for everyone. Enjoy the magic in Tring.
Also at St Peter's, Berkhamsted, there will be concerts autumn and Christmas. Pick up a leaflet in church or go to www.stpetersberkhamsted.org.uk/concerts.
The local news media sector has said plans to scrap laws requiring alcohol licensing notices and changes to local authority governance arrangements to be published in printed local newspapers amount to a direct attack on the public right to know. As ministers launch a consultation on licensing reform, which includes a proposal to remove the statutory requirements for alcohol licensing notices to be advertised in print local papers, industry leaders have warned that the plans would shroud local communities in secrecy. If enacted, the proposal, which was trailed by Chancellor Rachel Reeves in July, would mean that plans to open a new pub or nightclub or for an existing venue to change its opening hours would no longer be publicised within local communities. The government's licensing task force, which made the recommendation to scrap alcohol licensing notices in local papers, was set up to review the Licensing Act 2003, which applies to England and Wales. The task force was overwhelmingly made up of representatives from the hospitality and nighttime industries, with media not represented on the group. At the same time as the licensing reforms, a provision in the English Devolution and Community Empowerment Bill would remove the legal requirement for notices publicising changes to local authority governance arrangements to be published in local papers. This would strip communities of the right to know about sweeping changes to local councils, just as the government embarks upon the most dramatic reform of local government in 50 years. News Media Association Chairman Danny Camaraidi said, "Local news media in print and digital can provide a highly trusted and independent environment for public notices to appear in, with local journalists often reporting on the content of the notices. Developed with funding and expertise from Google, the industry's public notice portal has increased the reach of public notices online, with the print requirement remaining essential for those who cannot or prefer not to use digital technology can access the notices. Removing alcohol licensing notices from local papers would undermine this work and leave local communities shrouded in secrecy. Ministers must change course and abandon this misguided plan." A House of Lords Communications and Digital Committee report on digital exclusion warned that around 10.2 million adults, 20%, are unable to complete all 8 of the foundation tasks needed to set someone up for using the online world. And independent research from OnePoll shows that local news media remains the primary source used by the public to access public notices ahead of other sources such as social media, local authority websites, search engines, and printed mailouts. NMA Chief Executive Owen Meredith said, "Pubs and local papers go hand in hand. They are community hubs rooted in place, fostering connection and acting as a glue that binds neighbourhoods together. Yet the government's misguided proposals for secret alcohol licensing notices would damage local community cohesion by making decisions around hospitality venues less transparent, ultimately harming both pubs and local papers."
A corporate plan outlining the strategic ambitions of Hertfordshire County Council was criticised by the ousted former leader in a debate last week. Former council leader, Councillor Richard Roberts, took aim at the corporate plan presented by the Liberal Democrats administration following the change in the County Council's leadership in the May elections. Councillor Roberts referred to the plan as "everything to everybody" and "motherhood and apple pie." Another opposition member, Councillor Alexander Curtis, also criticised it as an unambitious plan without specific measurable targets. Hertfordshire County Council's corporate plan outlines the Council's vision and priorities, summarised as building a sustainable, inclusive and thriving Hertfordshire. Members of the Resources and Performance Cabinet panel met on Thursday, where Council Leader Steve Jarvis himself appeared to present the plan. Councillors were briefed about its priority objectives, which are helping all children and young people to thrive and achieve their potential and ensure they grow up in safe, supportive and nurturing environments, fixing Hertfordshire's roads and buses, addressing congestion, improving road safety and enhancing sustainable transport options, growing a more sustainable Hertfordshire, promoting economic growth and protecting the environment by developing prosperous, resilient and green communities, supporting those most in need, fostering compassionate and inclusive communities where every resident has support to lead a fulfilling, healthy and dignified life, delivering more, making use of scarce resources and strong partnerships to deliver high quality and trusted services that meet the evolving needs of residents. The development of this plan follows an initial 100-day plan introduced by the new administration, which highlighted objectives such as fixing potholes in a single visit, faster rollout of 20-mile-per-hour schemes when residents want them, and improving the environment by planting an extra 10,000 trees. In a letter summarising the overarching goals of the plan, Council Leader Councillor Steve Jarvis said, We want to create a county where every resident thrives and achieves their aspirations, where economic growth, innovation and industry are supported, and our environment is protected for future generations. We want to be a council that Hertfordshire's people recognise as being on their side. Hertfordshire County Council strives to do a good job delivering hundreds of services that benefit our residents, businesses and local communities. Councillors were told that the plan was not exhaustive, but highlighted the areas the administration will prioritise for the remainder of its term.
Benefits of a plant-based diet. A diet rich in fruit and vegetables and low in meat and dairy could prevent around 15 million deaths across the globe each year. The Planetary Health Diet is linked to a 27% reduced risk of premature death, as well as lower levels of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and other chronic diseases. This diet is mostly made up of whole grains, fruit, vegetables, nuts, legume, with only a small amount of fish, dairy, and meat.
Golf. In a thrilling climax to the Chiltern Breakfast League season, Shendish Golf Club has emerged as champions, capping off a remarkable campaign that showcased not only sporting excellence, but the deep-rooted community spirit that defines this beloved local institution. Shendish entered their final match needing a decisive away win at Chesterfield Downs to leapfrog my rivals Mill Green and secure top spot. In a stunning display of skill and determination, the team delivered a flawless 6-0 victory, a first in the club's history, clinching the division and earning the highest points tally of the season. Their momentum carried into the playoffs, where they edged past Mill Green 3-5, 2-5, in a gritty semi-final before facing Chartridge in a nail-beating final. With both teams securing 2-1 away wins, Shendish's superior aggregate score sealed the championship for Captain John Lane and his squad of 24 players.
Basketball. Hemel Storm were on the wrong side of a classic to open the British Championship Basketball League campaign on Saturday night, losing out 91-93 to the Reading Rockets in front of a sold-out Storm Dome. They had done well to recover from a poor opening quarter, in which they found themselves 13 points down to hold an 8-point lead with 6.5 minutes to play. But last season's playoff champions rallied back and Storm couldn't convert in a chaotic closing 23 seconds, missing three shots to resign them to a third defeat of the season. Those have all been by 2 points or less, and it looks like a season to be defined by fine margins. With Storm competing well and playing some good basketball against fellow title contenders, they must now find the ruthless edge to get over the line. In a sad week where we lost a pair of basketball's beloved Gentle Giants, former player Lee Linton Hodges and long-serving fan Mike Bleasdale, the two teams produced an exhilarating contest, one they would have greatly enjoyed. The guests raced out of the blocks, playing at the lightning-fast tempo we've come to expect from Reading of recent years, and American Malik Bryant proved particularly hot to handle. 10 of his 27 points came in quarter one, with his side 20-30 to the good at the first break. Storm were battling hard, with Dejani Parkinson bringing energy and hustle from the bench, and they stuck with the Rockets through till half time. The 4-point 44-48 deficit was far from unassailable, and Jake Rothage hoped to inspire a similar second half showing to what we witnessed in the victory over Milton Keynes Breakers. After three third quarter minutes, they were ahead thanks to a pair of Matt Norman free throws and the game tossed to and fro, with the Rockets narrowly ahead at the final break of 68-67. Baskets were exchanged and the score sat at 90-93 with 23 seconds left when Vernon Ease was fouled and sent to the line. He missed the first but made the second, cueing another Rockets timeout, and Newman intercepted the baseline inbound. The ball worked its way to Norman, whose three-point attempt missed, and Inger suffered the same fate. The rebound, though, was carried out of bounds for a Storm inbound with 1.4 seconds remaining, and Rothhoge drew up his play in a timeout. Newman found Nelson Henry, but his off-balance effort wouldn't go, and the 91-93 verdict was a tough to take from a Storm perspective.
Football. Hemel Hempstead Town will travel to 2013 winners Wigan Athletic in the FA Cup first round proper after seeing off Yeovil Town last weekend. The 2-1 victory put the Tudors into the first round for the first time in 13 years and earned them a draw against the former Premier League outfit who now ply their trade in League One. And boss Lee Allinson told the club's media it was a great draw for everyone at the club. He said, "I'm over the moon. It's an amazing draw to get the winners from a few years back, and it'll be a great occasion." Saturday's win came despite Hemel having Isaiah Noel Williams sent off in the first half, with goals from Kyle Ajayi and Finlay Wilkinson's late winner sending Hemel through. Allinson said, "It's an unbelievable achievement. I spoke to the players all week about creating more history at the football club, and they've done it. I knew what we'd get out of them, but I didn't think we'd be as dominant as we were for the first 25 minutes or so. I've seen the sending off back, and I don't think it's a red card, but we had to deal with it, and the desire, work rate, and discipline from the group was incredible. The crowd of 1,700 was unbelievable, and it just gives us such a push, and we've ended up getting the goal, which is what the FA Cup's all about. The chairman has been a different class. He's come through a lot of managers because he feels like he needs to try and get it right, and I hope at the moment he's found the right formula. We've come in, we've organised things and the group, and are trying to spend his money wisely. He's very supportive, and when you turn up here, he's in the car park and organising tables at the bar and getting the food ready. He works so hard, so we all have to follow that, and I feel the group are doing it, and I'm very proud to be the manager here." Attention turns back to league action this weekend with a trip to AFC Totten on Saturday and then a visit to Hampton and Richmond next Tuesday night. The FA Cup first round tie will take place over the weekend of November the 1st and 2nd, the final date yet to be confirmed.
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 7:32 a.m. and 6:01 p.m. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill." Alexa will ask you which broadcast you want to listen to. When prompted, reply, "Play the Decorum Talking Newspaper." This part can be tricky. If Alexa offers the wrong station, just say no and then try again. For those who are listening to this week's news via a memory stick, after the music, there is the amenities section that gives details of various groups and the contact details of organisations. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Martin, your technician for this week, assisted by David. But Don't forget the AGM on Saturday. We look forward to meeting you. Goodbye.